Yes, an honor and a privilege to be here with you, worshiping our Lord and our God.
Looking forward to Japanese King.
I think we're going to have another mini service after this service where I'm formally commissioned, so I'll do all my introduction later. But as Tareen said, my name is Daniel. And this week, I want to start a new sermon series from the Gospel of John. It's going to be titled, Believe It or Not. So throughout the Gospel of John, there's a very specific focus that he has on whether people believe or they don't believe. This Gospel, more than the other three, mentions whether specific people come to the faith or not as a result of what Jesus teaches and what he does. And I want to challenge us because we have that same choice here. We can choose to believe what the Bible says or not. So today's passage comes from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. So I'll read it. I wish I had this little screen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This passage shows us two things. The first is how God reveals himself, and the second is what his revelation means. So first we're going to look at things from a big perspective, from the big picture, and see how things move along in the passage, and then we'll zoom in on a couple of key points. So to start, as I read through the text, there were probably some words that stood out to you, right? Some of those words would be light, word, God, witness. And all of these words are significant, but I want to focus on just two of them today, the Word and the light. So the passage starts off describing the Word in verses 1 through 3, and then in verses 4 to 11, it shifts to describing the light. And then in verse 14, it comes back to talking about the Word. And all of this is to show us that there is a movement throughout the passage. And the writer wants us to make connections. So let's connect the dots. We start with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So what I want us to focus on here is the word with. Right? It happens twice. Then we're going to jump down to verse 4. It says, in him, him being the Word, was life. And the life was the light of man. And here I want us to focus on the phrase, in him. Then we're going to jump to verses 9 and 12, which says, the true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. There are some who don't receive the light, but those who do receive the light become children of God. And here, I want us to focus on children of God. So you have these words, these phrases, with, in him, and children of God. And what they all have in common is they express a relationship. But not just any relationship, a very specific type. And that relationship is that of a father to a child. And that's the way that God wants to relate to each and every one of us. Now this is really deep and profound, if you really think about it. Because believe it or not, God wants to have the same relationship with you and me that he has with Jesus. Have you ever thought about that? Verse 14 ties it all together for us. Because it mentions the one and the only Son who comes from the Father. We all know that person to be Jesus. And it's not a coincidence that in verse 14, it would start to mention Jesus as the Son right after it talks about believers becoming the children of God. Now for some of you, when you hear that God is like a father, you may be picturing your own relationship with your father. And you might see someone who's very loving, who's very supportive, who takes care of you. But for others, you might see a different picture. You might see someone who's very strict, someone who just shows up to give out the discipline, but then isn't really present other times. And there may be some of you that are just confused about your relationship with your father. You're not sure what's going on there. And I want to tell you that's okay. You don't have to have your relationship with your father figured out to understand the relationship that God wants with you. Because God understands that we're not perfect people. And he understands that our relationship with him, it's not going to be perfect. He doesn't expect it to be perfect. He knows that there are going to be times when you really get what he's saying. There's going to be times when you love him more than anything else. But then there's also going to be times when we really don't like what God's doing, where we really don't get it, when we don't talk to him. And that's okay. We can go through all of those phases. It's not going to change God's love for you, and it's not going to change that he wants to be your father. And like many responsible parents, God wants to teach his children. He sees that we need good teaching, and so he does this in two ways. And this is where we'll focus in on those two points to see how God engages with his children. And the first, it might be pretty obvious, is the Word. Right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Now this phrase, in the beginning, may remind some of us of another famous in the beginning phrase. Does anybody know it? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? And that's intentional because we're being brought all the way back to the beginning of creation to show us and remind us that what God is doing here, by speaking to us, by communicating with us, that's not something that's new. It was something that happened from the very beginning. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, we read this. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Right here, it tells us that creation itself is the way that God shows himself to us. Think about your homes. Inside your house, I'm sure everyone's kind of got their own personal space, right? As kids, we learn to recognize these spaces as, you know, this is where Dad does his work, or this is where Dad hangs out, or this is where Mom has spent so much time making things perfect, just the way they are, so we better not mess it up. We recognize those things, right? But if we go to a friend's house and we look around their house, we don't necessarily meet those same connections. We don't look at something and say, oh, that's your dad's, or that's your mom's, because we don't know them. We don't know them like we know our own parents. And that comes from God. If we get to know God, we'll start to see how things represent Him. But God also doesn't just leave it at that. He doesn't want us to just figure out everything about Him based on creation. Because we would probably do a poor job at that. I mean, think about it. If you go outside and you look at the trees, they're all changing colors now, right? So you see all the trees and you're thinking to yourself, man, that's beautiful. So God must think a lot of different colors put together is a beautiful thing. So if I want to be beautiful, maybe I should go out and dye my hair rainbow color, right? Or if you go and you admire the mountains, you see that they're super tall, and you're like, man, God really likes things to be tall. So I think His purpose for me in my life is to be as tall as I can. And I know that sounds kind of silly, but if we really were left to figure out God just based on creation, we probably wouldn't be able to do it. And so God actually speaks to us. Right? He uses words. In the Old Testament, you hear Him speaking to people directly. He speaks to Adam, to Eve, to Abraham. And then He also speaks through His prophets, right? He gives them a message, and they give it to His people. And here, in the New Testament, we also hear Him speaking in words. But here in our passage, it wasn't words per se. It was the Word, singular. Because this, the Word, means so much more than just a bunch of letters put together, than a bunch of sounds that come out of my mouth. This Word refers to a person. The person of Jesus Christ. Jesus was with God in the beginning. He participated in the creation of everything. And without Him, nothing was made. Right? Jesus became human, and He lived among us to show us the glory of God the Father, so that we can know God as our Father. And this is utterly amazing, people. I mean, God, who created the universe, who keeps it all together, who keeps it running, He wants to be your Father. But as parents, we know that words sometimes aren't good enough, right? And God has experienced this too. God has spoken and spoken and spoken. Sometimes we just don't listen. If you read in the Old Testament books like Exodus or the Kings or the Prophets, you'll see just how many times Israel, God's chosen people, His children, fail to listen to Him. And we're no different today, right? But fortunately, God has thought of another way to teach us other than just words. And that's through an example of light. Right? We get to verse 9, and it says that the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Now for us as humans, for our eyes to work, we need there to be light. And in the same sense, we have a set of spiritual eyes. And in order for those spiritual eyes to work, they need light. Jesus is that light. Jesus is the one who's going to show us how to live a godly life. Right? In the Bible, if you read through the Gospels, you'll see Jesus doing all of these things. You see Him healing people. You see Him feeding crowds. You see Him praying. You see Him washing the feet of His disciples. Because God understands. He understands that it's sometimes really hard to follow a commandment such as love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Or love your neighbor as yourself. What does that really mean? How do I do that? Well, you can do it by looking at what Jesus did. And so we can all learn a lesson from this. Right? As parents, don't just constantly nag your children and tell them to do this, to do that. It might not be that effective. But what might work better is to model for them how you want them to live. Right? If Jesus is truly the most important person in your life, how does that come out? Do your kids ever hear you talk about him? Do they hear how much your faith means to you? Or a time when God has helped you? And kids, we can relate to that, right? Our parents, they say a lot of things to us. But I think what leaves more of an impression is actually seeing them do something. Right? If I see my parents helping others, if I see them serving at church, if they actually come and help me with my schoolwork, that leaves so much more of an impression. And that's not to say that words aren't important, but we should recognize that there's a different type of impact that modeling makes. An example from my own life is when I was younger, I used to see my dad, and I used to think I'm never going to be like him. Why? Because I thought my dad was a really, really angry person. Like, he'd just yell all the time. But the truth is, my dad wasn't angry all the time. He was just someone who had trouble expressing his emotions in a healthy way. And if you ask my wife, who has seen me most of the time, she'll tell you that I had that same problem. I don't express my emotions very well all the time. No matter how hard we try to avoid it, we're actually influenced by the people that we're surrounded by. And things, their habits, their tendencies, they rub off on us. I have a question for you. Does our Heavenly Father have that type of impact on us? Do we spend enough time with God in His presence so that His qualities start to rub off on us? So what does this all mean? Right? Why should I care if God's qualities rub off on me? And why does it matter that God is my Father? Well, it means everything. Verses 4 and 5, they tell us that in Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So we're talking about life. When we enter into this relationship with God as our Father, we experience something beyond what we could accomplish ourselves. We gain purpose, joy, peace. This world that we live in, it's full of problems. Right? It doesn't take much to see that. You go pick up a newspaper, you watch the news, you go online, you hear about corruption, sexual misconduct, murders, etc. We live in a dark place. And Jesus came to a dark place, and He lived in it. But He was a light. And He still is that way. The past 2 winters, when Ruby and I were living in Massachusetts, we got hit by a few storms, and they caused blackouts in our apartment. So naturally, we used whatever light source we had, candles, flashlights, sometimes even the light from our cell phone screen, right? We know the light that comes from our cell phone screen is really not that much, but if you're in pitch black, it's actually pretty good. You can get around using just a small amount of light. That's the amazing thing about light, is that just a little bit amount of it is enough to counter darkness. Right? It says in verse 5, the darkness has not overcome it. So when we first become a child of God, when we first enter this relationship with God our Father, the light can be pretty small, right? We might barely see any change in our life, if any at all, right? We might still curse, we might still lie, we might still get really angry at that person that cuts us off in the middle of the road. But as we get to know our Heavenly Father more, we start to see those sinful habits start to disappear, right? His light starts to overcome the darkness. And that's when we really start to experience life for what it is. Because God created each and every one of us with a purpose. He's given each and every one of us unique gifts and passions. But without guidance, without discernment, without that light, those gifts and passions, they can be misused. Right? For me, I really enjoy board games and I really enjoy sports. But I also really hate losing. So while Ruby and I were dating, I introduced her to this game called Launch Game. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. But it's this card game. And Ruby constantly beat me at it. And then after she beat me, she'd be like really happy. Which makes sense, right? You win, you're happy. But that used to make me so mad. Now that I look back on it, I'm thinking God gave me this wonderful passion, this wonderful ability to play games. I couldn't even enjoy it, right? Because when I lost, I'd just be really mad. I wouldn't want to play anymore. But Ruby, she would remind me, she's like, you know, it's okay to be competitive when you're playing the game, but afterwards, like, just let it go. Like, why are you still hanging on to it? And so slowly, as I've been able to learn to do that, it's gotten better. I'm not perfect yet. I still hate losing, and I still get mad. But it's a work in progress, and I think all of us have areas in our life where we can relate to that. But the final and most important point that I want to make today is that we only experience this life if we choose to. In verses 10 and 11, it talked about people that didn't know Jesus, that chose not to receive him. So while God is our Father, he never forces us to do anything. He never forces that relationship. Even at creation, he made both the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But he gave the choice to Adam and to Eve whether they were going to obey or not. So God has given us his word. Right? He's given us the Bible. It's full of truth. And yes, it's full of rules sometimes. And there's going to be times when God tells us to do things that we don't want to do. But it's our choice. And the Christian life, being a child of God, is not always going to be easy. In fact, in my experience, most of the time, it's really, really hard. But he doesn't leave us alone. Right? He's already spoken to us through the Word. He's given us his Spirit. Jesus is already our example as the light. He's given us all these things to help us be his children. Can we revisit that darkness analogy? Because if you really think about it, it takes a lot of effort to stay in the dark. You have to really want to avoid the light to stay in the dark. Right? For you to be in the dark in today's day and age, you probably have to go into a windowless room with a completely sealed door. That's the only way you're going to shut out all the light. But there are people in this very world, in our communities, that are living in spiritual darkness. They don't know this light of Jesus. But Jesus has come. The light of the world has come. It's available to everyone. So it's your choice to believe it or not. But it's my prayer that all of you do. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this amazing truth that you are our Father. But as rebellious children, there are times when we're not going to want to listen to you. But Lord, I pray that you wouldn't let the lies of the evil one influence us, to convince us that we're unworthy, that we're unloved. Because we're not. You've already demonstrated the greatest love of all by sending Jesus. To not only be that light, to be our example, but to die for us, to save us from our sins. And so, Father, it's my prayer for myself, for the people here, that we would come to know you more and more as our Father, to know what you want us to be doing with our lives. So, God, we cling to this promise that you give us of life, and we pray that we may experience it as we draw closer to you.